Hi, it's Rigger J, and this is my audio blog for October 22nd, 2023. So what I'd like to talk about today is making your own rope group. Everything I have to say really goes to any type of group, kink or otherwise, but I'll focus on rope groups. So over the years, I have run several rope groups in different locations. I've also put on events, and this will also be pertinent to events. Way back, 2009, there wasn't much in Boston in the way of rope groups. And I started the Boston Rope Group in a space in Somerville, yes, as in the Somerville Bolin fame. And at its peak, we had 100 people in a very small space, all learning and labbing. My inspiration for doing my rope group was after the second GRU, or the first Connecticut GRU, which I think was like the second or third GRU, Great Answers, Ropetastic, Unconference Extravaganza ever. I loved the informal format, and there was no rope that wasn't just in a private home curated by somebody. And I wanted a space for people to do rope, learn, share, grow. There was a place that was hosting private parties, goth gatherings, fetish parties and stuff. And I reached out to the owner and said, "Hey, can I host a rope group at your place? I want to charge $5 a head. You keep it all." And they said, "Yes, we'll see how it goes." And for a bunch of years, every month, we had the Boston Rope Group. One of its claim to fames was Topologist demoed the first ever showing of the Somerville Bolin to public. Because it was named after Somerville, Massachusetts, in case people didn't realize this. And it was great. People would bring things they find online. We would lab, we'd workshop. It was wonderful. So, how did I get the space? I knew a space, I asked, they let me have it. On a more fancy outlook, the Bound in Boston, which ran for a lot of years, so Shibari Con was going, there wasn't any major dedicated rope events in the Boston area. And a gentleman named Rope Rider, who was submissive, a little switchy, but mostly submissive, if I understand right, said, "Hey, I don't want to travel to Chicago. I don't want to travel down to New York. I don't want to travel down to D.C. So he started a rope event. He had some money. He had the economic capability to rent meeting rooms in a convention, in a hotel, found one that was out of the city, off season, and started running Bound in Boston. And eventually it grew to a much larger, almost hotel takeover event that later evolved into Tethered Together. So one more story, much more modern. The Outdoor Rope Group in Seattle by Raw Kitty. This one here was much in the same spirit. I would like to have a bunch of people tying rope. And so what Raw Kitty did was basically post it out to their social circle and out through FetLife, "Hi, I am going to be at this location at Gasworks Park from about 4 o'clock until the sun goes down. Every Wednesday. Started on a Tuesday, moved to a Wednesday. And yeah, it went all the way. 2 years. And every time I attended, there had to have been 20 to 30 people all gathered together doing rope, some doing suspension, stuff like that. So the reason I go through all these stories is they are examples of how rope groups got started. And basically, you need a few things. One, the will to do it. You do not have to be an expert in rope to host a rope group. You just need to be passionate about education and social gatherings. You don't actually need to have money down. Outdoor rope group went for a very long time just being run in a park. Boston Rope Group, I found a space. There are lots of spaces that have dead time. These can be yoga studios, art galleries, meeting spaces, and a kink club in your area that has a dead night. And you just walk up and say, "Hi, I want to do this. Here's how I want to do it. How much do you want for it? Because it's your space." And there. But, okay. You have a space. Now what? A couple of things. Regardless of the topic, unfortunately, well, I just said, hey, you don't have to know anything. There, it comes a spot, especially in the beginning, you have to be the anchor. And that can be draining. So it would be best for success if you found someone or two to help you do these things. So that when you can't make it, you're sick, you're burnt out, whatever, someone can fill in for you. And I said you didn't have to know rope, for example, but what you have to do is direct things. Well, no, you don't have to. You should be ready to direct things. So, for example, if I don't know anything about rope, I'm going to go find some rope tutorials. I am going to get a projector, or I'm going to print it out. Or find the book and bring the book. And I am going to just work through it. And you do it with your friends. And people who show up can follow along. So, yes, you're not an expert. You're learning. But now you make it a peer learning space. Be prepared for people to not step up, for lack of better words. Asking people to find content that they want to go over. I found often people are quite happy to come to these spaces. They're quite happy to absorb, follow along, take the direction that the group leader is doing, but they don't necessarily want to go find the tutorial that you're going to do that night. You will find a few eager people. Those people become often very helpful and can become co-teachers and co-energy givers to a space, and that's very helpful. They then can become the people who fill in and help the whole space grow. Eventually, you can start talking about, hey, is there an instructor anyone likes? Maybe we can pool in and have them come in. Stuff like that. Then beyond that, there's some, I don't know, organizational behavior things to worry about. Consent policies. I hope you have one, and I hope it's all about enthusiastic consent, but you need to make and establish your culture. What are your acceptable behaviors? Is it okay to drink? Is it okay to step outside and smoke something? What is the culture of the space that you wish to have? And make sure you manage those expectations. Eventually, you'll probably have to deal with a problematic person. They can be a real problem, not just for their behavior, but when you do things like give them a timeout and say, hey, can you skip a few sessions, or hey, not really welcome. If you're in a space that happens to be kind of working under the underground, the space, for example, that I was doing the Boston Rope Group at, there was someone who was problematic and was not at my event, happily, but at one of the parties being hosted at the space, and the owner of the space asked them to not attend anymore or take a time out. That person got very butthurt and went to the fire marshal and the police. And unfortunately, the party got shut down. And the space got shut down, and that was the end of Boston Rope Group by an indirect effect. So, I can't tell you the best ways to handle a problematic person. All situations are different. All spaces are different. But it is something to think about. What do you do in that case? Unfortunately, there are more nuanced legal problems given the litigious nature of the United States. The problem is things like insurance, liability, and so on. I don't know what the best answer is there. Some spaces might ask you to actually get a insurance policy. That starts getting expensive, and then maybe that's a problem that causes the group not to happen. But again, like problematic people, it's an issue to have a conversation about. Are you hosting it in a park? Is the park actually going to want permits for what you're doing? Are you just going to go under the radar? It's not that hard to go under the radar. But, unfortunately, like the Outdoor Rope Group found, eventually the park board says, hey, no, but you can always go to another park. So, you know, there's options. What it really comes down to is find a space, negotiate with the space if need be, and set yourself up for success by having friends help you, by having plans for maybe the next few sessions ahead of time, what you're going to cover. And the issues of problematic people. The other big thing I can recommend is listen to what others are suggesting. Be open to suggestions and be open to change. The problem, though, with that is you're going to get a lot of people who are really willing to say, oh, you should do this. It would be great if you have X. But they're not up for actually helping those things happen. And you need to be careful and not get frustrated and not let any frustrations and stuff that transmit out and be seen, because that can turn somebody off. Or worse, it's someone who doesn't understand what they're seeing, as a third party gets turned off. So I'm pretty confident that anybody can host a group if they want to. If there's a space that they feel a need for, you can get as specialized as you want. the more specialized you get, the smaller the attendance of the group, but that could be a good thing. Making a small, intimate gathering versus a very large 100-person mob. So that is great. The last thing I'm going to suggest is take a look around. You're probably making a group to fill a need that is missing in your community space. But you also should look around to see what is going on there, what days is it going on there, what is the branding that they've done. Because the last thing you want to do is put your rope group or whatever group on the same night as some other group that is close enough to take away from the others. And worse, pick a name that sounds like the other one that's already existing and playing off somebody else's efforts. That's completely useless and inappropriate. That does not mean you can't be on the same day as another group. Just be conscious and also of those things and communicate. Talk to other group leaders. I think I may have said lastly twice now. I'm going to leave it on the last thing, marketing. So what I find is the best for this is you post in a couple of groups or Instagram or Discord groups that you're a member or Facebook or FetLife, and you say, "Hi, me and my friends are going to be here at this time and this is what we're going to do." And you get the word out. You ask people to put the word out. Worst case, you and your friends hang out together and have a good time doing whatever you plan to do. And over time, you probably will find it growing. I hope this has been helpful to anyone who is considering or a group or wishing a group of type X was available. Make it happen. Anyway, be well and have a great day. Thanks for listening.